John 1:6-9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Oh, let's try that again. It's a beautiful Christmas season morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that they speak your truth, they reflect the message of your holy scriptures. And Lord, you know that we will reflect and think about how the words change and transform our lives. And Lord, we just ask that our reflections on the word is true and follows you, Lord. For you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So we continue in this Advent season. It's a wonderful time of preparation to celebrate the birth of Christ. We talk, as always, about hope and faith and love and joy. We have the beautiful Advent candles and the banners and the decorations, all these things that tell us it is Christmas. But the main thing that I want us to remember, and as I spoke about this last Sunday, is the main reason for Christmas is Christ. We must have Christ in our hearts to recognize Christ as our King, as our Lord and Savior, and think not of what gifts we will be receiving, but instead think about what gift we can give back to Christ. And in last week's scripture passage, as we talked about Mary and her encounter with Jesus days before he was to be arrested, and how she honored Christ, how she recognized that Christ the King was before her, how she lovingly anointed his feet with oil and served him so faithfully. She was giving this wonderful gift to Christ. And I want us to continue to think about how we can give gifts to Christ, how we can show how we are so respectful of him and so thankful of this gift that he gives us. Because we know that God chose Christ, that God in the form of Christ came to us, to bring love and joy and peace to the world, eternal life and salvation are made available for all. This precious gift that was given to us that started at the birth of Christ on Christmas Day is so wonderful. It is a gift that has immeasurable value. You cannot judge how much it is worth. You cannot go to a bank and withdraw money to be able to pay for this gift of Christ. It is immeasurable value. And it can't be returned. Even though we might deny Christ, even though we might turn away from Christ, it can never be returned. Christ is always there for us. And it is given freely if we accept it. And so when we say, yes, we accept Christ, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, we then must really then think about what we can give back. What great gift do we have to give back to Christ? And as shared last week, we can give back through our faithfulness. And being faithful means recognizing that Christ is our Lord and Savior, the person who we turn to when we are lost, the person who we know is there for us and connects us to God, the person who we know gives us salvation, forgiveness of sins, to recognize him as our King, and to also be faithful and show honor to him in all that we do. You know, for a while back, I think growing up in the 90s or 80s, they had those bracelets that would say, WWJ, what would Jesus do? And then, to be honest, it got to be so annoying because everyone would go around saying WWJ. They'd wear the t-shirts or the bracelets or they have stickers. But it is a thing to think about, what would Jesus do in any situation? We honor him by doing as he would do. And then also by serving him. To serve those who are in need, to reach out to the stranger, to share about Christ is to serve Christ. All these things are ways that we can serve Christ, but here becomes the tricky part. How do we recognize him? How do we show honor to him? How do we serve him when Christ himself is no longer a physical human being walking this earth? We don't have a special time machine where we can go back in time 2,000 years ago and stand before Christ and hear the words he said out loud in person, or see him before our eyes heal someone, or see him tell the priests in the temple that they are wrong. We don't have that experience. But we read the scripture, the holy words, and we see and hear and learn about firsthand accounts of people who were with Christ. And in this morning's passage, the passage from John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, we see the experience of John the Baptist and how he was part of the light of Christ. We know, of course, that because Jesus doesn't walk the earth, it might make us then harder to think about how do we honor and pay respect to a person. If those of you who are big Star Wars fans, I know some of you are out there, and Ray is not here yet, but I think he saw it, you know, Thursday at midnight with a group of people, and I think James and some other people might have done that as well. But Star Wars, the big thing is one of the main characters, Princess Leia, the actress Carrie Fisher, passed away at the end of last year. So many people were paying honor and respect to her. They dressed up as her character. They cried in the scenes that she was in. They wrote tributes on Facebook and all these things. They honored and paid respect, and they recognized the greatness of this actress. But she was a person, a physical human being that they had a connection to. They were easily able then to honor and pay respect to her. But what do we do as Christians when we want to say we want to honor and pay respect to Christ, someone who we have never met in person? Right? I don't see anyone saying, no, I've met Christ in person. And I know that if you ever walk in the Hollywood area near the Mann's Chinese Theater on the corner of Highland and Hollywood Boulevard, there is a man dressed like Jesus who swears he is Jesus. You know, we call him Prophet Jesus, and he'll walk across the intersections back and forth in long brown hair and a beige tunic and sandals and scraggy beard, and he shouts to people that he is Jesus, and people have to repent of their sins and to listen to him, and he's the Hollywood Jesus. But he even is not Jesus. He is not someone we could go to and have a conversation with as if he was Jesus Christ and to ask him how can we honor and praise you and to recognize you. We struggle with that question then. How do you honor Jesus? How do you recognize him as your king? How do you serve him faithfully? And we see an answer in this morning's scripture passage from John that talks about being a witness for Christ, being a witness for the light. It is so important to be a witness for Christ. That is how you can honor him. That is how you can recognize him. That is how you can serve him. We know in this morning's scripture passage, it starts that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist was so important. We know that even for his parents, his birth was important. It was an impossible birth given to his mother Elizabeth at a later age in life. It was a birth that the parents had prayed for so long. It was a blessing. And John, who grew up in a priestly family, became known for the ways he helped the church. So much so that people then sometimes thought that he was the Messiah. Was he the Savior, the person promised to come to save the world? But no, he was just a man sent from God. You all are people sent by God. We are children of God. We are his sons and his daughters. We are made and created and loved by God in our mother's womb. We are sent by God, just as John the Baptist was sent by God. And we know that John the Baptist came to witness, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. The gospel writer of John wrote these important words that he was a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. In biblical times, light was so important. It's not like today's times where I could say hero and do this hero. Turn the switch off. No light. Turn the switch on. Light. Is hero God because he made light appear? Am I God because I said, let's turn on the light? In biblical times, light was so precious. You had the daylight, you had your oil lamp light, you might have had candles, but it wasn't a thing so easily accessible. So saying that there is light coming to the world that will save the world had so much more meaning in those times. Because the people knew that daylight was so important, needed in their lives. We ourselves even today know, and we could ask Ronald the doctor how important sunlight is, right, for human beings. Sunlight nourishes us, it gives us energy, it feeds the plants, it makes the plants grow. It does all these wonderful things. For the people, it was the way they mostly did the income, the work that they did to earn income. The shepherds needed the light to take the sheep out to feed from the pasture. They needed the light to be able to see all the sheep and protect the sheep from the wolves and danger. People needed the light during the day to go to the well to get water, their water for the week. They needed the light. And in the darkness, many things could happen, and they were then afraid of the darkness. So the light brought warmth and comfort and safety to them as well. So when it says that John came to witness, to testify to the light, the people, the writers, they know they're so important that John is a testimony to the light. But it's not the physical light, just the physical light that they're talking about, but the light of Christ that John came to do. It goes on in this morning's scripture passage today, John himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. John was doing the greatest thing. He was serving, he was recognizing, he was honoring, he was testifying to the light. So now what do you think about when you hear the word testify, to hear the word witness? Maybe you think about how we have trials and you are a witness in a case. And a couple of years ago, I was on a jury trial, and they had different witnesses. It was kind of a, you know, just a simple case. There was a man accused of a hit and run, and he said that it wasn't him, that it was someone who had stolen his motorcycle, and it was the driver, the thief of his motorcycle, that hit the car. But then the police officer, who was the witness, who had authority to say, no, even though the motorcycle fell to the ground and the thief ran away with the helmet, we found you three houses down, hiding behind some bushes with your leg badly broken. So the owner of the motorcycle said, no, he had just tried to run so fast after the thief that he broke his leg and decided to rest against the bushes. Which witness would you believe? The person who owned the motorcycle who said he didn't cause the hit and run, but he fell and broke his leg as he was running after the motorcycle down the street? Or the police officer who said, we found you. You were intoxicated. Your leg was broken from the motorcycle accident. Who would you believe? Who is the better witness? You have to be prepared to be a witness. And as John came in this morning's passage to witness, to testify the light so that all might believe, we knew what John was doing. He had been prepared. John himself, before he began the core part of his ministry, went in the wilderness and fasted. And he came out of the wilderness giving testimony to people saying, repent, make way, the path, prepare yourselves, for the light is coming. For Jesus is coming into this world. John was being a great witness because he knew what he needed to do. And we ourselves need to think about what we need to do to be great witnesses. We know that in the passage it says that he himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. As many people thought, maybe this man, this John the Baptist, this person who grew up in a priestly family, this person who was born out of the prayers of his parents, this person who was blessed and led a great life, maybe this is the Messiah, the Savior that the prophets are talking about. Is this the person who is to come to save us? But John the Baptist knew he was not that person. And I encourage you to read John chapter 1, not just this morning's scripture passage again, but the whole chapter, to see later when John is giving testimony himself before the Jewish priests and the Levites and the leaders. They ask him, they say, who are you? And he confesses to them, and he does not deny it, and says, I am not the Messiah. They ask him then what are you if you are not the Messiah? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? What are you? Who are you? And he answers them that I am not the prophet. And they again ask, who are you? It's kind of a back and forth thing. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Because they want him to say he's the Messiah, or they want him to accidentally or mistakenly say he is the Savior. He says to them instead this final answer. He says, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight for the way of the Lord. John the Baptist is being a witness for the light. He knows how the light will come and how the people of the times then were so in need of the light, the Savior, the gift from God that will save them. And we today in our lives need that light, God's grace and love and mercy available to us, salvation and forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, who is our light. But we, to receive it, must then be thankful and give back, to be witnesses as John was, to say, make way the straight to the path for the Lord, to know how important the light was and how it was a gift from God given to the people. They say that when babies are born, they don't see their mother's face, the first thing. They don't see the nurse or their doctor as the doctor is delivering. It's not the first thing they see. It's not even their own toes or fingers. The first thing that a baby sees when they are born is light. The light in the hospital, the light in the room they're born in, wherever they're born, it's the first thing they see. Because for the previous 9 months, they were in the mother's womb in a dark and cozy and safe place. But the first thing they see when they come out and they are born is light. light is given to them by God to represent the life that is beginning for them, just as we need to think about a new life beginning with Christ when we receive the gift of light. So then you might think, okay, so I'm going to look at John the Baptist and see how he was a witness and testify, but how do I do that? How do I go about doing that? And I know earlier I kind of jokingly talked about Hollywood Jesus and what he did. And if you have a chance, it's quite interesting. You know, maybe Gaius, while your brother's in town, if you want to experience something interesting, go to that corner of Hollywood and Highland near the Man's Chinese Theater and kind of look for Hollywood Jesus. And he's usually there. And he'll stand on one corner and start talking to people, and the light will turn green, and you'll see that group of people quickly try to cross the street. But he'll follow them. He'll keep talking to them. He'll keep telling them about God's love and how they need to repent of their sins and how important it is to have Christ, I guess, himself in their lives. But he's actually doing the right thing. It might not be the best message. It might be kind of a scary message. And, you know, people will ignore him. People will make fun of him. People will sometimes even stop and talk to him and test him, and they'd have scripture verse battles. And some people will even accept and take time to talk to him. Because I used to work at Hollywood United Methodist Church, not far from that corner, when I and staff members would go to lunch, we would often encounter him. And he would try to talk to us. I would walk with the senior pastor of the church, and she would sometimes have her clerical collar on because she'd be going to do a hospital visit. And he would still talk to her and want to engage in her and convince her that he is Jesus Christ. But he's actually doing the right thing, because one of the first things you do when you want to be a witness to testify about Christ and God's love is to engage with someone. That is the first step to being a witness, is to be engaging with someone. So in this morning's worship bulletin, everyone should have the handout. Let me actually get mine. And I thank James Lee for ordering these. These handouts are actually called engagers. We encourage you to read it first yourself, to pray over the words, and to think about someone or persons who you would like to give this to. It's an easy way to engage with someone. It talks about Christmas Day in a lighthearted way. It talks about hope, love, joy, and peace. And reminder that when Jesus was born, he was born to two people, nondescript Jews, poor people. They were immigrants themselves in a land where Jesus was born. And how great it was that an angel came and the shepherds and the Savior to see the Savior in a humble stable where he was born. The main thing I encourage you to think about and read is the passage from Isaiah printed in this engager from Isaiah. And I invite you now to open the engager up and let us read together this passage from Isaiah. Ready? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So I invite you to, during the week, think about this passage, to pray about this passage. And there's even a way I suggest you read this passage. It's called Lectio Divina. And what it means is to see the divine in the words. And in Lectio Divina, you are encouraged to read a passage three times through. The first time is just to read it out loud to yourself. And just read it. It's plain and simple. We just did that ourselves together as a group. But the second time you read the passage through, think about a word that or a phrase that calls to you. Is the phrase child is born? Is the phrase on his shoulders? Is the phrase mighty God or wonderful counselor or everlasting father or prince of peace? What phrase, two or three words, call to you when you read the scripture passage a second time through? And then read it again a third time through, but really focus on those two or three words of that phrase that spoke to you. And reflect after the third reading on why then those words spoke to you. That is a way to get to know the scriptures better, and I encourage you to do that for this passage in this engager. We have more copies available, and if you are leaving church right after worship, we have plenty of copies for you to take. But if you are leaving after Sunday school or after UMW fellowship, see me then because we'll have some more copies. I apologize, this one doesn't have our Christmas Eve service information, but the other copies that we will have later after Sunday school will have that information. This is one of the first steps we can take to being witnesses, to testifying about Christ's love. And how easy is that to send this to someone or to talk to someone about this a neighbor, a co-worker. We'll send some of these out to the group Christmas caroling in the Chinatown area, to the Grand Plaza seniors, and to other people we will be visiting. Let's start a conversation. Let's start engaging with people to share with them about the love of Christ. And it's pretty easy. If you say this, the star, journey to the unexpected, a journey to Christmas to someone, if they know about Christ in the story, they'll know what this means, what a star and how important it is. They'll know the picture of the three kings on the front. But if it's someone who does not yet know fully about Christ or is questioning or not sure, they might have a questioned look on their face. They might wonder what it means and how wonderful it would be for you then to have a conversation with them. So I encourage you all to think about ways you can use this material to engage with people, because that is what we are called to do. If we want to say we want to give this great, we want to recognize the great gift that we have received of Christ, how then do we give back? By honoring, by recognizing, by serving, by being a witness, by testifying to the light, just as John the Baptist did in this morning's passage. We are all created by God. We are all sent to earth by God. We are all children of God. And we all receive this great gift of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And as we say, we want to remember and celebrate his birth. It's not just his birth that we as Christians must always remember and celebrate, but his life, his death, his resurrection, his forgiveness of sins for us. And so in turn, we must honor him to be great witnesses, to engage with people, especially those who are lost and in need, and to share of God's love made available through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, we sometimes are challenged and sometimes are afraid to be witnesses. But Lord, we know that we recognize the most valuable gift you have ever given us, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who eternal life and salvation is made possible through him. And Lord, we just ask that you use us then as your instruments to share and testify about the light that came into the world and how it shines brightly in our own lives today and how it will save the world. For Lord, we ask that you use us as your witnesses to give us strength, to give us courage to engage in those who need Christ in their lives. Lord, we are so thankful for this time of fellowship and praise together, and we will continue to praise you throughout this week. For we do all these things in your Son's name. Amen.